This is the Reynolds School Media Watch on Beyond the Headlines. I'm KUNR General Manager David Stipik with Al Stavitsky, the Dean of the Reynolds School of Journalism at the University of Nevada, Reno. Hello once again, Al.
Thanks, David. Good to be back.
And this is a show where we talk about all things media. Two topics today. We'll get to one about Reddit. That's the online aggregator, and we'll explain what that is in just a few moments. They've been in the news under fire for a few weeks over some recent policy changes that have the CEO on the hot seat and people kind of up in arms who are used to posting things on Reddit. We'll get to that in a moment. But first, we're going to start off with some interesting new research about screens versus paper. So, Al, let's lead in with this research.
Well, David, interesting new study just reported this week by scholars at a Center for Research into the Magazine Industry at Columbia University. And the heart of the study, it was an experimental design, you know, formal research scholarship. They had people take the same piece of magazine journalism and an in-depth story coming out of Indiana about a family that was facing a very difficult decision where their child had to have brain surgery. So it was a very well-written, very kind of heart-tugging piece of journalism. To get to the heart of it, they had folks read it, the actual story in the magazine, and they had folks read it on a screen, on a tablet. Later, they asked the folks who had read it about retention, how much did they retain, and about engagement, emotional impact, how did the story affect them. And surprisingly, they found little statistical difference between reading the story in print and reading it digitally, which kind of goes against the conventional wisdom, which says it's a different consumption experience if you're reading something online on a screen or you're reading it ink on paper.
And this gets to the heart of the debate as the internet has become more and more prevalent in tablets and mobile, that people say, oh, I just love reading in the book, or I just got to have that newspaper in my hands. This study has shown that in terms of the emotional response, even very similar.
Well, it kind of says that it really is all about the story. And if you've got a compelling story, you're going to affect your readers, whether they're reading it on a piece of paper or they are reading it digitally. And this was a bit surprising because there had been some other research that, you know, people had reported different reactions, or the thinking was if you're reading something digitally, you don't get as engaged in it because, you know, you're getting beeps because you got a piece of email and there's all these links to jump off. But what this study said is that a good story is a good story wherever and however you consume it.
What are the implications for digital media or traditional media?
I think it bodes well for those native digital media. We've talked about those media organizations on this program before, David. The idea that, you know, these are organizations that grew up in the digital space, as opposed to say a newspaper that now has a website and an app and things like that. And it was sort of taken as an article of faith that, well, if you're in the native digital space, you know, you're producing a different form of content and you're relating to your audience in a different kind of way than those folks who, you know, read the newspaper or watch the news on television or listen, you know, on their radio as they have traditionally done. This sort of empowers the folks in the digital space to say, if you've got good stories, you're serving audiences, you know, in the same way. I think it also speaks to the media culture, David, in that I think now people are getting used to consuming media, both, you know, reading the newspaper and then perhaps later in the day when you're at work, looking at the newspaper website or, you know, listening to KUNR on the drive-in, but then maybe listening to programming that is being streamed while they're out for a walk or a run or something like that. And so as people become more accustomed to consuming media across platforms, then the differences get evened out.
So had this study been done a few years ago when people were not as likely to be on a screen as much, the experience has gotten better with better technology and better readability, may have been a different ballgame. But now we're more used to it. We've adapted. We're more accepting, perhaps. Better technology has evened the playing field.
I think that's absolutely right.
So do you plan to abandon all paper aspects of what you do on a daily basis?
Well, the funny thing is this study really resonated with me because I am someone who really kind of moves in both camps. I mean, I love that print newspaper, in the morning, and I take it to lunch with me to, eat that sandwich. But I'm constantly sort of grazing in the digital space during the day. And so I think that I sort of reflect then this new world of digital media culture where people are getting comfortable using media across both spaces. And I think the lesson then for media organizations is not to say, well, I'm just going to throw out the legacy product because everything's going digital, but to be in as many places as you can be and to have your storytelling and your production to be as sharp as it can be across all those different platforms and understand that readers and listeners and consumers are looking for information wherever they can be and whatever is the most convenient medium at that time, and they're open to the experience on whichever platform.
And this was Columbia Journalism Review?
Columbia Journalism Review printed the study, so it's in the current issue. In the summer, they print a double July-August issue. You can find it on the CJR website, but it was produced by scholars at Columbia University.
And we'll have a link with when we post this on our website as well. This is the Reynolds School Media Watch on KUNR's Beyond the Headlines. David Stipik with Al Stavitsky, the Dean of the Reynolds School of Journalism, talking all things media once again today. Al, our second topic is Reddit and the claims of censorship in the wake of some changes in policy recently, along with other recent moves that have the CEO under fire. For those not familiar with Reddit, what is it? And give us some recent history.
Well, David, Reddit is a website that is what we call an aggregator. And by that, it's a site that primarily exists as a place where material that was originally produced elsewhere is aggregated. And in this case, the aggregators, for the most part, are the consumers, are just plain folks out there who are sort of volunteer producers who are posting links and things that they are interested in. And it may be very serious stories about the news of the day, and it may be the crazy cat photos that are so often seen in the internet. So Reddit is one of the more well-known and popular online aggregators. It also has another function, though, and that really is kind of the seat of this controversy, in that it is one of these places that also organizes lots and lots of community listservs where people engage in online conversations on a whole range of topics. And a place like Reddit may have hundreds of different threads that have to do with politics and the arts and all sorts of things. And most of these threads are moderated by, again, by citizen producers, folks who have day jobs somewhere else, but are kind of heart deep in this notion of social communities being formed over the internet. The controversy now involving Reddit is that the company fired the woman who was sort of in charge of all of the online communities, and it wasn't clear what was behind that, but they went ahead and they fired her, and now there has been an outrage among the members of the community and these volunteer moderators.
And this is Victoria Taylor we're talking about, this employee who was fired. This comes in kind of a time where there's been a change. By the way, Reddit, R-E-D-D-I-T, for those who are wanting to go online, we're talking audio here. So you may not, if you're not familiar with it,
well played.
That's the way we want to make sure people know how to find it. But this has been also controversial about what's perceived as censorship with some change in policies. There's been a lot over the last month or so because of some of the freedom that people have had to post things that have, may not have been palatable, may have been controversial. So there's a range of things swirling around this, the firing, the perceived censorship, a lot of things in a space that's been perceived as pretty much a fair, you know, kind of a free-for-all space.
And really what's at the heart of this, David, is that you have, again, digital native media, to refer back to the term that we used earlier. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is something that was born of social media and developed solely on the internet. But it's the kind of business model where the owners have all the labor being done by folks out there, by volunteers. So in the one sense, I mean, it's a terrific business model if you, you know, can have all your content generated on the outside. On the other hand, you have very little leverage over these folks. These are not, you know, technically your employees. And so if you wind up getting crosswise with them because of a change in policy or this firing, which prompted an angry op-ed piece in the New York Times early this week, all of a sudden, you know, you have very little control over this sort of a viral backlash. But on the other hand, it's in part, it sort of goes with the territory when all of your labor is volunteer labor being done by folks who are just out there. And it somewhat relates to the conversation we had a couple of weeks ago, David, about unionizing at Gawker and at some of the other digital media sites, where some of the unions that had served legacy media over the years, like the Writers Guild and the Newspaper Guild, are now attempting to unionize workers at some of these digital media companies. Now, in the case of Reddit, these are not actually employees, but to some extent it's the same sort of issue because, you know, the labor situation now in this digital native space is just very evolving, and it's hard to get a hold of.
But this speaks to the wild frontier that the internet still is. So is the internet itself and the perception of this as a wide-ranging, wide-open medium, is that part of this issue?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the internet originally evolved, you know, with tech geeks and scientists and researchers developed this, and it really was a wide open frontier, and it was an electronic community, to cite the title of one of the seminal early works on the internet written by Bill McKibben. Then the commercial folks came in and kind of colonized it and were searching for business models, and folks made a lot of money and lost a lot of money, and it went back and forth. So you've got this sort of clash between now the commercial entities that see it one way and really seek to control that space, and the folks who still see, you know, the internet as this wide open electronic community. And in a situation like Reddit, and we've seen the same kind of thing a couple of times with other aggregators, you get this sort of clash between, you know, between control and freedom. We're also seeing this in, you know, some of the legacy media organizations. It's been a big issue with newspaper comment boards, you know, where newspapers went big into, well, if we're going to move into the digital space, we want to take advantage of this opportunity to connect with our audiences. So they said, you know, comment, you know, respond to us. And then they saw that some stories, particularly crime stories, got into some very nasty, virulent, often, you know, racist sort of comments. And then there was, well, now we've got to, you know, we've got to have moderators for these columns. And that, you know, still goes back and forth now when media organizations are trying to get a handle on what's the best way to moderate these sort of columns. Well, what Reddit does is, okay, we have these volunteer citizen moderators. And so Reddit said, you guys handle this. Well, but then when it was a little too open and wide ranging, then Reddit said, well, wait a minute, here now are some policies. And the volunteer moderators are saying, wait a minute, you know, we didn't set those policies. And now, you know, you fundamentally changed the nature of the space. And Reddit says, yeah, but it's our space. Well, you know, this is the nature of 21st century internet politics.
This is the Reynolds School Media Watch on Beyond the Headlines. I'm KUNR General Manager David Stipik. Been visiting with Al Stavitsky, Dean of the Reynolds School of Journalism at the University of Nevada, Reno here. Al, thanks again. Always good insights, and I always learn so much in visiting with you. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
And thank you for listening to KUNR.